I think it's important just to point your compass towards joy.
And play like you, be like you, and don't overthink it.
All right, I'm going to, let's do a 3-2-1 clap just so we can lock in the the recordings. Or maybe a 1-2-3-4. I like that better.
Okay.
1-2-3-4.
Wow, that was good.
You did a lean back.
I did a lean back, mate. I've got the lean back. The days of the supreme deck chair that I broke in half are long gone.
Oh, my God.
I've got the lean back now.
How do we not have that video? That was like one of the greatest moments of this podcast. How do we not have that video?
I actually really hurt myself. Really hurt myself, mate. It was one of those ones where I was like laughing and it's like adrenaline. It's like I've made a fool of myself, fallen over.
Shake it off. No big deal.
And then as the podcast went on, I was like, oh, may have broken a rib. I might be in a bit of trouble here.
I might be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I am, mate. Cheeky. Anyway, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I got a box here. I don't know if you can see it.
All I see is Stephen Slate.
Yeah. So,
wow.
We've got, I'm assuming it's probably reversed, but these are the Stephen Slate VSX headphones that basically they come with software, and it's basically like a studio modeling software unit so that you put on the headphones.
Yeah.
And then you choose the studio you wish you were hearing your mix in, like NRG or whatever, the one that Peter Gabriel owns.
Yeah.
Or you can choose the car that you're listening to it in.
Wow.
Then you model the headphones as well. Like, okay, I want to listen to these on AirPods. I want to listen to this mix on, you know, $2,000 headphones. So, and the reason why I took a gamble, because as you know, I'm not endorsed by Slate.
Uh-huh.
Not really my vibe, old Steve. I don't think we get along that well.
All I see of old Stevie Slate is... it's just like, it's what English people think every American is like.
Do you know 100%. What I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
100%.
It's like,
yes.
What's up, guys? It's like,
yes.
Whoa, that is an intense human being. You know what I mean?
What I want to do right now is take this mix and put it into my truck. So let's head out to my Ford F-150 and do it now.
Yeah, but he also scares me. I feel like if we continue, we might get sued. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I'm not messing. No. Yeah. I love you, Steven. You're amazing. I've bought all of the products. I use the plugins. I love the plugins. I actually bought a bunch of Universal Audio plugins, which are supposed to be the top of the top, and even bought the Universal Audio, I don't know, this thing that kind of like offboards the plugins so they're not taking up room on your computer. Oh. And their plugins are amazing, but I found myself going back to the Slate plugins. Yeah. Mainly because I love the way they look and I'm really familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I did buy these headphones full price. They're $300 and they come with like 10 different studios and then a bunch of different headphone models. But the reason why I did it is because of the fact that where I mix my drums, it's not meant for it. I don't even have my studio monitors like in a place where you should be mixing. One is next to my ear and one is 20 feet away from me.
Yes.
They're meant for the campers so everyone can hear everything.
Yeah, right.
But they're not. It's not meant for mixing. And I do truly struggle with, I get a mix, I'm like, crushed it. And then I'll I'll be like checking a Instagram video of mine on my AirPods. And I'm like, it's okay. As I'm getting into my car, and then my Bluetooth takes over and I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of bass drum.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bass drum.
Welcome to my life, mate. Flipping out. The last video I put up, I'm like, why didn't I listen to this? Do you know what I mean?
It made sense in the moment.
It made sense. All the changes on my setup, right, is one mic. And it's this mic. So for recording podcasts, I just put the kick drum I switch this one and the kick drum around and I just turn it up. I know where it is meant to come back to, but yet that single little turn up on one knob is enough to completely throw off my mix.
100%.
I'm like, yeah, great. I've just
half of a dB, game over. Why did you even show up? Get your EAD 10 out and be done with it.
Exactly, mate. I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah. So that's why I bought these. Was I wanted to see like, okay, one, does it work? Proof of concept. Is this something I would recommend to our podcast listeners? Is this something I would recommend to my students? But I really do need help. And I honestly don't want to, it's so weird. A lot of people, trying to find the nicest way to say this, but a lot of people will say, you know, you should do this. You should do this to your room. And it's like, you don't understand what I do for a living. Yeah. I host drum camps and I make videos. Everything you see that you're thinking is a recording studio, it's to make videos and to host drum camps. So I do have to sacrifice some sound. And, you know, I had people reach out as I was rebuilding my wall, like, oh, you should use this product and you should use that product. And it's like, you don't understand how little I care about what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I bet you only needed to look good. I bet you got so many. It's like, you know what you need to do? It's like, oh, you need to move your Tom mic. It's like, I'm in a shipping container, mate.
Right.
I mean, I have no room whatsoever.
You should probably raise your overhead mics about 6 feet. And it's like, okay, so that's 3 feet above my ceiling.
Yeah, I'll get another shipping container and put it on the top, cut through both of them. Do you know what I mean? It is the classic.
Yeah. So I mean, there are, you and I have both had times where people gave critical feedback and it was like, that's not a bad idea. You know, so I do appreciate the feedback, but I just want to see, can I get some good mixes on these headphones? And then does it translate to my car, to my AirPods stuff? And if not, I'll send them back.
So,
old VSX Steven Slate headphones, yeah, I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, man. Also, talking about headphones, I'm currently using the Shure, what are these ones? The 535s, I think, or something like that. Okay. I want to get some molded ear.
Yes.
I want to get time. I need it, mate. I need it. So, which ones do you recommend?
64 audio. 100%.
100%. Like, which model?
It just depends on what you care about. Their somewhat cheapest model, which I think is $399, I actually use those the most, and I have much more expensive ones. The reason why is because it's killer highs, killer lows, and some decent mids, which if you're playing drums mostly by yourself, more than enough for anything. Actually, if you're even playing with a band, more than enough for anything. It's once you get into like singer, songwriter, guitarist, those people that need more mids, they need more drivers, they need more frequencies to hear what they're doing. I really don't. I need to feel my kick. You know, I need to hear the snap of my snare. I want to hear the sizzle of my cymbals. So yeah, so honestly, down to the A2Es and then all the way up to the big kid ones, I think I'm using the A6Ts. Those are my good ones.
Okay.
That's, I use those the most. Those are like the pro level kind of, and I think I would have to look up the price, but they're not insane. They're not like $2,000.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Like six drivers, they're amazing. If you were touring, you would never have to wonder if you're missing out on anything.
Okay.
So I ordered three things when I signed with 64 Audio: the A6Ts, the A2Es, and then a set of their custom molded. Since you've already sent them your molds, their earplugs that are custom molded.
Oh yeah.
Those are my I play drums exclusively with those. Like if I'm not actually playing to music or a click, it's those earplugs.
Yeah.
They are everything we wished earplugs were our whole lives. All they do is turn down the volume, but all the frequencies are there.
Love that.
Crazy. Yeah, it's amazing. So those are like my favorite things. I keep them with me everywhere I go.
All right.
So yeah, I would, and then the other thing too is I think what you would really love about 64 Audio, and they're the only one that has this, is you'll see that there's like a little silver tab on the side of them. And that's a removable filter that is the dB controller. So you can have -26 dB, like a full earplug, or you could put in, if you wanted to hear more crowd noise when you're touring, -10 dB, and you still have custom molded in-ears, but now you can hear more ambient sound coming in.
Banging. Yeah, that sounds great, man. Because I love a cheeky one ear out, mate, but I'm worried about my hearing now. I'm getting old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm worried about the old tinnitus. Creepy.
Yeah, I would definitely go with like, you know, because you when you order the in-ears, you can order as many of these little plugs as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get like a -10, a -16, -26.
Love that.
So when I did PASIC, I put in my -10s so I could hear more of the crowd since I didn't have any drum mix coming to me, so I could actually hear my drums in real, like my real drums. So
that's important.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Especially at a clinic when there's not really much, like there is an atmosphere, of course, but it's not like a crowd. Do you know what I mean? You kind of need to draw that, like
something.
Some
air. Just like, is anyone here? How many of you are asleep right now? Clearly you won't be raising your hands because you're asleep. But
exactly.
But yeah. All right, so quick question. Yeah. I saw a post. I saw a post on the old gram that you have a clinic coming up.
Yeah, mate. I can't.
What the hell?
I know, mate. I'm kind
Did you know
of,
you had a clinic coming up?
I didn't. I was like, I did at some point. And then you were like, oh, yeah. So, you know, that clinic you're doing, who, you know, AJ, who I just did this camp with, he's playing before you and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, yeah, that thing. So I completely forgot, like most things. You know, no disrespect, but my diary is just non-existent. There's nothing
right.
in my diary.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like a week before, there's a blind panic to sort everything out. So yeah, man, it's going to be fun, mate. It's going to be fun. I spoke to him yesterday and there's about 60 odd tickets sold, which is great, which is terrifying, to be honest, mate, because that's like one of the biggest clinics I've done, really. Like
by yourself, yeah.
By myself, yeah. So...
Oh, Matt F. got his tickets this morning.
Yes, Matt F. It's going to be cool, mate. I'm just now just figuring out what to play and what to talk. Well, not what to talk about. I've got things I want to talk about, but what to play is a big one because I've played similar, like I said on this podcast before, I've played a lot of tracks a lot of the times when I do clinics, basically. I play the same shit and I want this one to be a little bit different. So I've got
really
T-minus 6 days.
I don't know.
To figure something out.
I can tell you right now, I'm playing my PASIC tracks at TED tomorrow. So yeah. And I did I was like, I told the event, oh my God, let's just pray they don't listen to this. But they were like, okay, so the theme of this TED conference is reimagine. So we're just reimagining the world. And I was like, I will create a drum solo that literally puts everybody in their seat and causes them to reimagine their entire lives. Yesterday, I was like, or I'll play three tracks that I played at PASIC because I don't have time to practice. I don't even have a stage anymore, man. Like,
I am saying this on the podcast in the hope that like it holds me accountable to play something different. And I might not. Actually, you know what? Like, I've got a few tracks that I haven't played before that I didn't have the tracks for, if that makes sense. Like, there's a few busted tracks that I never actually had the tracks to play along to, and now I do. So I'm definitely going to play a few little bangers and whatnot. But I'm looking forward to it, mate. I'm looking forward to
it.
It'll
be awesome.
It's going to be really, really fun.
And
mate.
That's so, with Adam Bond, right? He's the one putting that on.
Yeah. So it's in Woking. So by the time this podcast comes out, you'll still have time to come and get tickets. I think it's one of those things where like there's no cap, there's no sellout. I think they can just squeeze in as many people. Obviously, you know, if 5,000 people want to come, then no. But so
that might be a bit much.
Yeah. So just head to my bio if you want tickets and just click the link. I think tickets are, how much are tickets? £18, mate. So it's reasonable. It's reasonable. So I'm looking forward to it, mate.
How the hell did he get that?
What is it?
Wow. He got at the School of Drumming. He must have been in on Instagram early.
He must.
That's a solid at.
That is a solid at. Yeah.
That's like right around the corner from at drum lessons.
Yeah.
At the School of Drumming. So yeah, check out Adam Bond Drummer at Adam Bond Drummer or at the School of Drumming. And you can also probably get tickets through Eddie's link. You can also get tickets from www.adambonddrummer.co.uk.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it, mate. So what talk me through this TED talk thing. Are you talking at all?
So from what I understand, no. But you know me. I'll grab that snare mic and there's no way I'm not saying I'm sorry. There's no way I'm not saying something.
Oh my God.
I have to, I'll just grab the snare mic.
I'm picturing you walking around with like this like really obscure mic that just like doesn't look
just
like
an SM57 like hey guys. Let's talk about reimagining your life. No, I mean, honestly, so they asked me to speak, but it was just, they asked me to speak, even though I knew it would be now. The time they asked me was when I was in full PASIC prep mode, and there were just so many things going on. I was like, the last thing I need to do is add a TED talk to this. Because it's always one of those things where, like I said, yes, it's just going to be to maybe, it's already sold out. So I would say it's probably, the theater that it's in is probably like a 500 to 600 seater.
Cool.
So that's a moment. But the big moment is people watching it for the rest of time on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, okay, I don't need to add that stress into my life right now. They said, would you consider playing? I was like, yeah, absolutely. Count me in. Because that's what I'm doing right at the time. I was like, I'm training right now for this thing. So I'm all in to play. So basically from what I understand is there'll be like four speakers, then there'll be a lunch. And then when they come back from lunch, I'll be on stage. And then I play for 10 minutes to get them into the next group of speakers.
Wow.
But like on the TED stage with like the giant TED behind you and the red dot in the middle. And so,
mate, that's going to be amazing. So yeah, I remember you telling me like you weren't going to talk. And I just thought there's no way in hell.
If there's a microphone, I would like to tell the crowd, please don't use this 10 minutes to focus on me. Like, use this 10 minutes to kind of meditate. I'll play some music, I'll play some drums, but you should be thinking about yourself, your future, where you want to go.
Yeah.
But even saying that, that triggers like, and you know what, while I'm here, guys, you know, like, here goes 6 minutes of my 10.
Do you know who else is talking on the stage?
Yeah, I've seen, I mean, I don't know any of them, but they are, they're all leaders in their thing. Like this lady brought clean water to Afghanistan or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to play some drums. And then I think at the end, there's another set of artists, like some interpretive dancers and stuff. So we all have sound check later today. So basically after this podcast, I'll go load my drums in and do sound check and everything and then leave my kit there. And then tomorrow at like 1, I don't know. I mean, it's so weird how not nervous I am. It's just because I think I can't remember the last time I played drums in front of a room of non-drummers.
Yes.
I only drum in front of other drummers. This is like a cakewalk.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? It's like you've got no pressure. You've got no, like, they have no expectation as to how good. And I think like from their point of view, like skill level just blends into like nothingness. It doesn't matter because they're just in awe of someone playing the drums. Do you know what I mean?
It's 100%. Like
when you get in a taxi and the guy's like, oh yeah, my cousin's nephew's next door neighbor's a really good drummer. You should check them out. And then you see a video and they're just absolutely terrible.
You just think like, I get it. I see why you think this is amazing.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Honestly, if somebody could dunk a basketball, I'd be like, are you in the NBA? Are you pro? And they're like, no, I'm 6'7".
Yeah,
like,
I love it.
We can all do that. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't. So that's amazing to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah. So I think the lack of pressure, it's weird. It's so the opposite of pressure. I'm so excited to play drums in front of, I know because this is in Folsom, and for those that have been to camp, Folsom is a much bigger town than where camp is in Old Folsom. But I know that there's going to be like I don't know for sure, but maybe Kyle from sociology will be, there'll be a lot of local people, local business owners, local leaders, where it's like, I don't think you've ever seen me do what I do for a living.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I'm so excited to do my thing.
Yeah, man. Especially not in person. Like, they've obviously 100%. Seen videos of you, but it's completely different when you see it in person.
Yeah. So even, and when I was practicing, it's funny. I was taking out a lot of like chops that are drum chops, and I was replacing them with normal human chops, you know, into sa-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, like, and just simplifying and oh, you know what? I never thought of it because I've always played drum clinics with this track, but I could do four on the floor here.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
And it's like, it's such a weird thing to think like that.
Yeah, it is, man. It's interesting. I think, for me, going into this clinic with Adam, I'm just going to play some straight up pop tracks that I've played before. And I'm so over the, I've got to impress you with like skills and chops. I'm just so over it. Finally.
You know what though? I mean, I got to say, like, I think that we've gotten to a place though that we've separated those people. And it's like, if you want to be impressed by chops and flash, like, we have a great crew of those people. Bring one of them in. You know what I mean? Like, bring an Eric Moore in for that.
Yeah.
But if you're bringing Eddie Thrower in, you're not bringing him in to be Eric Moore.
Exactly.
Or Thomas Lang or Marco Miniman. Like, and so, yeah, I mean, I think that now, you know, you and I used to be drum set clinicians. And my thought was like, well, gosh, if it's a clinic, not a drum festival, this might be somebody's first clinic and they're expecting me to be what I saw as a clinician when I was a kid, you know, like these, like Dennis Chambers and Dave Weckl and stuff. Yeah. But now we have social media and people kind of are coming because they know who we are. So why would they want you to stop being Eddie Thrower and be mm-hmm. this other, like, oh, I didn't know he could play jazz traditional. He's playing brushes.
Yeah, what? Exactly.
I don't want to see that. Exactly. I want to see you do what you do, man.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, mate. So yeah, thanks to anyone who's coming down, man. It means a lot. I'm genuinely looking forward to it for like
that's awesome.
The first time.
Vincent says that Woking is where the McLaren headquarters are.
Yeah.
McLaren HQ, the technology center. So swing by there, pick up a McLaren.
Yep.
And say hi to Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, their new driver.
I did say to Adam, I wanted about 120 grand for it. So, I mean,
that's a down payment.
Yeah, I might
just get a down payment.
Just get me halfway there.
Yeah. I think you get a steering wheel for that. Good stuff. Okay, so I have one more question before we get into our main topic of hardware. By the way, everybody, 47 minutes in, welcome to Drum with Mike and Eddie, two professional drummers that live off of tangents. Can you talk about what's coming up that we've been talking about?
I don't think so, but...
Okay. So can we just say that something's coming up?
Yeah, something's coming up, basically.
Rad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Great. Absolutely
I'm
fantastic.
Stoked for you.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. So it's, definitely soon, probably within the next episode or so, I think. I just need to wait. But yeah, man, it's going to be fun. So yeah, there's some cool things lined up, just playing. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, like, I'll just say when it happens.
I was going to say, I'm loving why, like, oh, it's just great and it's going to be huge, but it won't be that big, but it should be fun. But I don't know if it will be because I can't talk about it. Yeah. Anyways, I know what you have coming up and I'm very excited for you. And I think it's awesome for the career, but it'll be great for your soul.
Yeah.
You know, it's just good stuff.
For sure.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So wait, before we move on, how is the wall doing? Is it finished?
No, it's exactly where I showed you last time.
Right.
So my contractor, he's amazing. I love him. But he also is
a contractor.
So he is a contractor. So mm-hmm. he's like, all right. So my daughter's in town. So on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to take her snowboarding. And I was like, after 5 p.m., I'm assuming.
Also snowboarding California.
Yeah, so I'm in Northern California. So we're only 2 hours from the mountains and like, they've actually held the Winter Olympics like two hours from here.
Of course they have. Yeah.
Squaw and stuff.
That's nuts.
So yeah. So he's like, I'm going to take her snowboarding. And I was like, okay. And I'm assuming since you're also a contractor, you don't work on the weekend. So you're going to be gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He's like, yeah. So I'll see you Monday. And I was like, okay. So is there a discount involved? Like, no. Actually, I've raised the prices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally cool. But one thing I wanted to talk about was that wall is... It's weird. I don't change it because I'm bored visually. Like I change it. I've changed it six times now, or this will be the fifth wall. So I've changed it four times already. This is the fifth one. I change it when I feel like I've made a breakthrough as an educator and I want the videos because obviously that back wall is in every video. When I see a video, I want to be able to see where I was in my career. And when I see certain, you know, when I had like four black symbol boxes and they were in squares, I know where I was in my career. And that was a huge step up educationally from where I was when there was a giant M logo in the back. And then honestly, in the last couple weeks, probably because I've been filming like 5 to 6 videos a day, I hit this area that I haven't ever quite been in before. And I basically started a new process. So this is some behind the scenes for any of you that want to make drum videos, educational drum videos. Basically, what I'm doing now before I even press record on any of the cameras is I sit there and I think about what I'm about to teach. I've been teaching some pretty basic stuff lately because of the new courses I'm filming. And I basically try to go back in time to exactly what my body felt like at the time that I learned that. So some of this stuff, I would have been 7 or 8 years old. And I try to remember what it was like to not be able to put the bass drum in between the hi-hats, to not be able to ghost note and everything was an accent, to hit my sticks together. And I literally just reverse myself back to that time, take a deep breath, and then I press record. And then I'm speaking to the camera from like that moment of experience of like, I know what you're feeling. I truly know what you're feeling. So there's this, I don't think I've become a better explainer, but there has been a massive step up empathy-wise.
Yeah.
from like what I'm feeling in the moment that I'm teaching. And that's when I was like, I want to change the back wall. But I didn't want to get a new back wall. I wanted an evolution, not a revolution. Like I wanted, this is just a slight improvement on my education mm-hmm. and a slight improvement on the wall, and it reflects it. So no one will know about anything. Well, I guess they will now, but no one will really know this stuff. But when I see these videos that are 6 years old, I'll know like, oh, I remember that's when I really, really started to bring empathy into my videos and mm-hmm. connect with the people that are watching them even on a physical level. Like I'm feeling what they're feeling. So that's kind of why I decided to make this change now.
Yeah, sick, man. Mate, that's one of the hardest things about teaching through a camera. Is that like, it happened to me the other day. I just played singles into doubles for someone that came for a lesson. And that was pretty much the whole entire lesson. And I was like, God, when you're teaching through a camera, you're conscious of the fact that you've got to like, you know, remember what that felt like and remember how hard the simple things are. But it's easy to forget that. Do you know what I mean? It's
totally. Easy to be you like, just go. Like, all right, singles into doubles. And obviously you guys are going to want to work on your paradiddles, but let's accent every fifth note. And it's like, dude, that's 9 months of work.
Yeah.
And it was 9 months of work for you. You just kind of forgot it because you're making a video and you want to over deliver. And that's what I've realized recently is like, stop over delivering with the amount of content, over deliver with the empathy. Remind these people, you know, if anything, give them some sort of relative timeline. Like, hey, heads up. From 70 BPM on doubles to 200 BPM, for me, that was about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, because they think it's 2.5 minutes because you went from 70 to 200 in a 2 minute video. So they think like they should be able to do that. And it's like, well, you can't, you have to practice.
Mate.
So yeah, so that's why the back wall's changing.
Nice, man. Well, I have decided I'm going to strip this out. And not do anything fancy. Yeah, just the same vibe, like the same colors, just white and black. But I'm just gonna spice it around a bit. Spice it around. That's not even a sentence.
Spice it around.
Wow,
I've never spiced anything around. Cool, I think that's a new one.
Cool, that is a new one. But yeah, mate, I think I'm gonna do something. I just want it to be a little bit fresh. It's so funny. Now I'm doing more one-to-ones. I'm like, oh, flipping it. Yeah. Like
that's when the candles start to become a really big deal.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, it looks good through cameras, but when you're here in person, you're seeing all the little paint splatters and all the marks and stuff. And it's just,
I feel you.
Yeah, I want it to be nice and tidy.
No, I love it. And not to mention, I mean, most people will never see this, but I've been there in person. That place is so beautiful from the outside that you want to match, you want to match that vibe once you open that door, like, oh my gosh, this is just as cool as what's out there. Mm-hmm. Cause that you've gone there every day for quite a few years. So you're probably pretty jaded to it, but that is a magical little area that you got there.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man. I just need to, just spice it around. Don't I?
Spice it around.
Spice it around.
Start small, but start. All right. Let's get into it. Let's talk hardware. So you make the move from Tama Drums, who make amazing hardware, over to Ludwig Drums, who are known for their drums, and they're known for a pedal that came out in like the 40s or 50s called the Ludwig Speed King. Neither Speedy or Kingly. That pedal was horrible. We all, as kids, grew up on it, but now they have a new Speed King, and they did a line of Atlas hardware.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what it's still called, but I'm just curious, like, what's your change been like? Were you scared at first?
Yeah,
I mean, leaving an Iron Cobra is a big deal.
It's a big deal, mate. At first I thought flipping out of all my talents just because of this hardware. But yeah, it's weird, mate, because I think Tama hardware just felt right. I think it's the same with a lot of people with DW. Do you know what I mean? I think it's kind of like, I think DW and Tama are like Vitfirth and Promark. Like you're either this side or this side. Do you know what I mean? And I was always Tama. Totally. I always loved and preferred Tama hardware as opposed to DW. Leaving Tama and joining Ludwig, I was like, I forgot about the hardware. I didn't even know.
Yes.
I completely forgot. And I think when I realized,
the same thing when I left DW and went to Gretsch.
Yeah. So do Gretsch have their own hardware or not?
Yeah, I mean, I would say they have their own branded hardware, but they don't sell it as Gretsch hardware. You can get it with their cheaper kit, so no high-end stuff. But at the time, Fender owned Gretsch, and Fender also owned Gibraltar, and they were all under the same umbrella. So right. if you signed with Gretsch, you got a Gibraltar deal. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. But I feel like, now, hold on here. Oh, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do
like,
it.
We're in suing territory on this episode, yes. aren't we? We really
I
are.
I feel like Gibraltar is a little bit like, I don't even know how to explain it. They just try stuff. So there's a yeah. lot of Gibraltar gadgets where you're like, this is really cool. I just wish it had the R&D that Tama and DW put into their hardware because yeah. it feels like it stopped at a B minus. You know, it's like, oh, great idea, but it didn't get fully developed. Okay, so you make the move from one of the greatest hardware companies and something you're super comfortable with
yeah.
to Ludwig hardware. So that's, I'm assuming stands, pedals, everything, right?
It's literally everything. Because I'm a bit OCD when it comes to my kit. I don't know about you, but like everything's got to be matching. Everything's got to be the same model, the same series, the same like felt, the same wing nuts. Everything's got to be, even down right. to, I don't know, this is, I don't, I wonder if you do this. So on my boom stands or any stand, for example, the lower half of the cymbal has got to be higher than the top half.
100%. It wouldn't make any sense. Yeah, it would be the weirdest thing ever to have it any other way.
I can't remember who I saw, and their stands were, the middle bit was shorter than the top bit, and it looked, it freaked. I had to like, not, I had to look away.
Drums. I was like, watch you play drums.
This is horrible. So yeah, I was, I've moved to all Ludwig. So that's like hi-hat, pedal, stool, and yeah, the biggest thing for me initially was like the clamps, because Tama and DW, I think they do really good clamps. So like yeah. even just a cymbal boom for like a stacker or an X hat or whatever it may be, I underestimated, I took for granted, I guess, how much Tama spent on those little things. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, the first day I was like, yeah, let's have a look about this. I kind of forgot about this. and then it quickly felt like home, which was wicked, because I was a little bit terrified of like, oh my God, if this doesn't work or if it keeps on falling down. The real test would be the tour, but I'm sure they'll be fine. They look fine, they feel fine. So I'm happy, man. But yeah, I'm using the Atlas Pro, basically. Atlas Pro.
The tour?
Yeah, that's
what
it,
tour.
Yeah.
We don't. Yep, yeah, weirdo. Moving on.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Atlas.
It's
Atlas
gonna be. I'm just gonna say it's gonna be amazing to see you with Lady Gaga. Can't wait to see the stage show, the fire coming out of the bass drum.
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Man.
So, do you know which pedal you're playing right now? Is it the new Speed King?
Yeah, it's the new Speed King. It's called like it's called like the Speed Flyer or something. I can't remember what it's called, mate. But it's called the Speed. Let me Google it. Hang
on. Don't you take your time.
Ludwig Speed King. Yeah. No, it's not that. Speed Flyer. I got it right.
Okay.
Speed Flyer. Only £169. And genuinely, it is amazing. And it's confirmed what we have said since day one. It's like a pedal's a pedal to a certain extent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think that they are all different, but if you can just weather the storm for about a day, your foot will figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's the, you know, key with any, because I have in the studio, I have 5,000s, 3,000s, 2,000s. I have strap drive, I have chain drive. And they're all over the studio. So every time I sit down at a different kit, I'm playing a different pedal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take my foot too long to figure it out. And there are moments for sure where I go for something and it doesn't really happen. And I just think like, okay, that's on me. Like I'm not going to blame the pedal. Yeah. I just need to get used to the pedal. But, yeah. But as far as things falling down, getting things in the angle you want, you're happy with your hardware.
I'm happy, man. And I'm happier that I'm happy. It's weird, mate, that I'm happier that, I don't even know how to describe it. Basically,
are you relieved?
I'm relieved that I love it because it then matches. If I had to use DW yes. hardware and Ludwig drums, it would trip me out of it. So yeah. I'm like, I'm not happy in the sense that like, basically that's all I care about is having it all matching. Long story short. And now it matches. I'm just like, sick. I don't have to have like Gibraltar or DW and talk to two different companies. It's all within one house and it's amazing. And their hardware is sick, mate. I do love it. It's wicked. Yeah.
I got to say, man, Speed Flyer. I like the name, but I mean, nothing. I don't know what the naming meetings are like over at Tama, but Speed Cobra, like there's like that metalness to everything that Tama does.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's, you know, it's the Iron Cobra and it's the skull and crossbones snare stand. And I'm like, it's just a little too metal for me.
It is.
I do love, I mean, but at the same time, if anyone ever asks me about hardware, I just tell them like, you should try out. I always say you should try out an Iron Cobra and a DW5000 and just pick your favorite because they feel very different. The DW5000 is a lot closer in feel to what you have. But I will say, honestly, in all the pedals that are out there, most of them either feel like an Iron Cobra or a DW5000. And, you know, the DW5000 is modeled after the old Camco pedals. But the Speed Flyer and the Speed King, those have their own feel too. It's almost like a third segment of the market of like, well, this has a different thing too. So you have to kind of decide what you like. But
yeah,
with everybody having different shoe sizes and different leg lengths and everything, it is important that you find what you like rather than what's the best.
So what hardware do you play? Do DW have like different series of hardware? Or is it all just like one thing?
Yeah. And I play one level below the top tier. But almost all DW artists play one level below the top tier.
That's so interesting, mate, because I did the same thing at Tama.
Really?
It's weird. It's so good to know that, like, it makes me like actually throw up in my mouth. But like, I was gonna
other pros?
I was gonna say it. It's just nice.
Just hanging out with a bunch of my peers, my pro drummer buddies.
You know, just legends like us. You know, just the top boys in the industry.
The top of the top.
The creme de la creme creme. Don't even play like quote unquote the best hardware.
Yeah, it's, well, so for me, that's the 5000 series. And then the top is, now they have some random like direct drive, you know, $1,000 pedals. I'm not considering that. I'm just talking about a full series of hardware that has stands, hi-hat stands, everything. So there's the 5000 series, and then above that is the 9000 series. Mm-hmm. And the 9000 series, let's just keep it on bass drum pedals. The 5000 series that I play, so I play a DW5000 Turbo. It just does what your foot does. Whatever your foot does, mm-hmm. it does it. That's it. The DW9000 almost tries to help you, and it's too quick for me. So it's a perfect pedal for metal drummers that play very, like, just a tiny bit off of the head, and they're going, because it's such a quick pedal, it doesn't take a lot of work, but it's too much for me. Like, I start to think about hitting it, and it goes down, and I'm like, well, what? I wasn't there yet, bro.
So
the pedal, it's just too, it does too much work for me, so it doesn't feel natural. The DW5000 feels like a natural extension of my foot, and whatever I want to do, it just does it. And then on the hi-hat side of things, there's something, because every time I do a clinic, no matter what my rider says, they always get me the DW9000 series hardware because it's the best they have in the shop.
Right, yeah.
And so I'm like, I mean, it was in bold.
Yeah.
5000 series only, not 9000. But anyways, whatever. So I sit down and I play. I cannot tell you how many hi-hats I've flipped inside out on the DW9000 series hi-hat stand.
Wow.
There's something about the torque. Like, it's put, like, basically, if you push down with 50 pounds of pressure, which is, I don't know, 27 stones. If you push down with 50 pounds of pressure, it puts 70 pounds of pressure into it. So, and I have a heavy hi-hat foot because I like a tight, tight sound when I'm playing closed hi-hats.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be playing, and then all of a sudden it goes, kunk, and they just flip inside out. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Sorry about your 15-inch Benny Greb hats. Like, and the only way to get them back, and I have to do this in front of the crowd, is I have to undo the thing and stomp on them on the ground.
Yeah.
And they go, kunk. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sorry about that. Benny will sign them when he comes. And you'll be able to sell them for more. Sorry about that. So yeah, so I've always played that. And then both the 5000 series and the 9000 series stands and everything have like the omni, I wouldn't say omnidirectional, but they're clickless as far as where the cymbal stand goes. I have to have that. Yeah. I cannot have clicks because it'll never click into the spot that I want it to be.
Exactly. So I was just doing a little bit of research then, just because I know my gear, you know, off the top of my head. The stands I'm using for Ludwig, I'm doing the same thing. So I'm not using the Atlas Pro. I'm using the Atlas Standard.
Oh,
so I'm just using the basic hardware. And they're amazing. They're absolutely amazing. They've got the same thing that you're on about. They're not clicking into place. Yes. It's just like on the ball point or whatever it's called. But yeah, I just use the Ludwig Atlas Standard, and they're cheap, man. They're like 70 quid for a boom stand, which is
wow.
Yeah, great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So yeah.
Okay, so that's our hardware. Now, I have a question for you.
Okay.
We're doing a clinic tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's me, you, and a couple other of our peers, Weppel, Vinny Caliuta, Travis Parker. Yeah. So we're doing a clinic tour.
Mm-hmm.
And Ludwig says, we can get you the hardware that you're accustomed to, but with a level like of cheaper drums, or our entry level hardware with Ludwig Classic Maples. What are you going with? And I that would be a tough one for me to decide on.
I might have to go hardware. I think
it's so. That important.
Yeah, it is important, isn't it?
It's up there.
Yeah, it is, mate. I think I actually quite enjoy playing like a really like rubbish kit sometimes. It just makes, I don't know. I don't know why. Like if
it takes pressure off of you.
It does, yeah. And you're like, oh my God. And everything's
can't
a
be
surprise.
Expected to do anything with this.
Like if it sounds good, you're like, well, the tone's in the fingers, isn't it? Come on. This is what the pros do. But
yes.
I think shoddy hardware.
Come on,
mate.
Pearl Midtown. Yeah. Come on, Pearl Midtown. Let's get this.
Yeah, I think good hardware, mate, over anything else, mate. It's got to be done, man. It's got to be done.
It's funny. I would, if somebody said, you know, Gretsch Catalina, which is, it's not their entry level, but it's definitely one of their cheaper sets. Gretsch Catalina with DW 5000 series hardware, or Gretsch USA Custom with, you know, janky hardware, I'd take the upgraded hardware every day of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
I care about sizes. That does throw me off if I don't have my sizes.
What are your sizes?
20, 12, 14.
Mm-hmm. Never a 16
22.
Floor.
That's a bass drum. Yeah. I love a 16 floor on a 22 inch kick.
Okay.
So 22. What's weird is I could do 22, 10, 16, ooh, which makes no sense. But I love 22, 10, 16.
That's what I've got on at the minute, 10, 16.
Is it really?
I love it. There's something about the contrast.
I love that separation. Totally.
Yeah, it's like bing, poof. It's amazing.
It's the best. It's the best.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
So I could do that, but even that, like the feel that I get out of a 20-inch bass drum changes how I play everything. As soon as I have a 22, I play more like you.
Yeah.
More the rock side of me comes out. With a 20, it's a little bit of a rounder sound. It's not as staccato. I usually don't put a pillow in it. I put like light muffling, like a towel or something. And so it's just got a little more, the note lasts longer. And so I play different when I have a 20. So 20, 12, 14, any series, and then 5000 series, DW 5000 series hardware, and I'm a happy boy.
And then what have you got on your skins, on what skins are you using at the minute?
We're going into drum heads.
Yeah, we're going into drum heads. All right. Because I've just changed mine.
Did you really?
Yeah, for the first time ever. Well, for the first time in about flipping, man, I don't even know, like eight, nine years.
Because of Lady Gaga's tech telling you.
She said to me, look, you got the gig, mate, but you're going to have to change those heads. And I said, for you, Gaga, anything.
Oh, just in case anyone takes us seriously, Eddie is not touring with Lady Gaga
I'm not
yet. That we know of.
Yeah, exactly. If I open up Instagram and there's a DM, I'll let you guys know, but I'm just there. But yeah. So yeah, no, I switched them out, mate. It was I used the black chromes.
Okay.
Black chromes for ages. Honestly, for
these are Evans?
Yeah, Evans. So basically they're the same as ET2s, or the same feel, like a thick two-ply head. You used to love the ET2s, and then I went to the they're called Evans Onyx, and they're like a black head, yep. but they're like a matte finish.
Matte, yeah.
And I just didn't like them. They felt weird and they marked and just, yeah, I just wasn't for me. And then I found the black chromes and they lasted for ages. They looked cool and they just felt really nice. And I think that's it when it comes to skins. I'm like, as long as they look cool and they feel good, I'm fine. You know, I'll use yeah. whatever. And then when I was recording a couple of months ago now, I don't even know, the producers put on G2s. And I love them.
Yep.
G2s by Evans, mate. I'm like...
G2 clears?
G2 clears, yeah.
Yeah, that's some good attack. That's some clicky attack out of the toms.
It is, man. And it's like, it's just nice seeing the inside of my drum again. Do you know what I mean? It's been it's been like 8 years.
Yeah, no, 100%.
The inside of my drum. So yeah, man, I'm using G2s now, which are wicked. So yeah, what are you using?
So I'm using Aquarian single ply texture coated. So single ply coated heads. I use them top and bottom. Everyone asks me what heads I have because the douchey part of me actually makes Aquarian or asks Aquarian kindly to put a different logo on the heads.
I love it.
It is their logo. It's just their logo from a different series of heads.
And I think it is the better logo, in my opinion.
It's the most classic logo like ever. I love it.
Yeah.
If Aquarian went out of business and I had to go to either Remo or Evans, I would ask them, like, well, since Aquarian's not here, can we use the diamond logo? Because it's part of, this is so stupid and it shouldn't matter, but it's part of the look of my kit. When I look down and see my kit, I like to see that diamond logo, even though I know it does nothing. And then I did actually recreate the logo so that it said the proper words, because it used to say like modern vintage, because that's what headline it's from. Mm-hmm. So now it says single ply texture coated. Says the proper words. If you zoomed in on any of my videos, it actually says what it is.
So you can't buy those.
But you can't, no, I mean, you can buy the head obviously, but it wouldn't have that logo.
Oh, nice.
Now, if we want to create a groundswell and get Aquarian to make that their logo, I'd be all down for that. I'd fund it. I'd do whatever it takes, because I would love to just swing by a local drum shop and pick up heads. Because when I get heads, especially for videos, I mean, I have to order them. They take an extra 2 to 3 weeks because they can't just grab them off their shelves.
I was going to say, that was going to be one of my questions. Like, how far in advance do you need to let them know?
Like when I'm down to like 3 12-inch heads and 3 snare heads in my little, I have like a little closet in my garage, I'll call them and just say, no rush, but I need this many heads with the diamond logo.
That's cool.
And they've been very cool about it. So single ply coated on top and coated on bottom. And then same on the snare, but with a regular snare head on the bottom.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, I keep it simple. And then I do switch heads for camp season.
Oh, you did?
So I go to a 2-ply head for camp season. So Aquarian has they actually have 3 2-ply heads, but they have a Super 2, which is a 5 mil and a 7 mil ply.
Mm-hmm.
What you're playing is 2 7 mil plies.
Mm-hmm.
And mil is not millimeter. I can't even remember what it stands for, but it's like, it's a very, very tiny increment. They have one called the Response 2, and that is the same thing that you're playing. So my white kit has Response 2 heads on it. And that's what, when we have 80s night, it's like, let's go with the thick heads. You guys won't dent these up. But I usually go to Super 2s for camp season just so that people don't feel bad about denting my heads.
It's so weird, man. I can't imagine you playing a clear head. Like, I was just picturing it then.
I wouldn't even play drums. No. I'd honestly quit the industry and become a farmer. I especially in the studio when I recorded with Simon Says and stuff, clear heads were a must because of that clarity and attack you get out of the toms. Like, you can't EQ that into coated heads. Like, there's a click and an attack and a smack to clear heads, especially with lower tuning. You go a little bit lower and they almost sound compressed.
It's the smack.
I love clear heads. It's the smack. I love clear heads for what they are. They just don't, they're going the opposite way of my current sound. So, I think that's really important for people to know, like, that these aren't colors. It's not like I play the white ones and he plays the black ones and you play the clear ones. these all have very different sounds. And like you said, even the matte Onyx heads sound different than the gloss black heads.
Yeah, couldn't do it. It was weird, mate. It just felt like, oh, I don't know, man. That's the thing. It's all about feel. You know what I mean? Like, if it feels 100%. Good, I'm into it. And that's why half the time I don't even know what I play. It's like,
yeah,
I spent years not even knowing that I played oak sticks. I thought that was just normal. It's just like, yeah, mate. Which ones are these?
I'm
just
these things last forever. Why are you guys keep complaining?
Just like,
because we're all playing hickory.
Yeah, they're like, just they're Promark ones. What do you mean? And they're like, and someone said to me, yeah, but they're oak. And I'm like, yeah, what are yours? And they were like, well, hickory. The oak is not normal. That is not the norm, Edward. And I was
they're
like,
heavier
right.
too.
Yeah, they,
yeah,
they
I mean,
are.
You're heavy. You're a man. I yeah. can't play oak. I would wear out quick.
Yeah, I picked up my 5B oaks the other day, mate, and I was like, flipping heck. I don't know what I was doing back in the day, but
yeah
I play 5/8 oak now, so it's a little wow. little less lighter. But
well, maybe we can dive into drumsticks in the next episode, because there's so much that people don't know about sticks, like where the names come from. What does 7A mean? Why is 7A smaller than a 5A?
Yeah,
which in you know, and then what's a 5B? What does it mean? So there is a reason behind all of it. We can talk about that. We can also talk about the water content. You know, the water content in the dowels, the pieces of wood that make the stick, changes from brand to brand. There's furniture level dowels, and then there's striking material dowels. So there's more water content inside a dowel of something that's meant to be an axe handle or a hammer handle than there is in furniture grade wood. All of these things. So when you go from a 5B, say Vic Firth, to a 5B Vader, the 5B Vader will feel heavier to you, even though it's the exact same amount of material and it's the same size. And it's like, well, why is that? And it's like, well, there's more water in the Vader dowel to begin with. So that stick is going to feel a little bit heavier, which might be make it a little more sluggish for you. It might feel like, oh man, I'm just like kind of running through mud here, but it'll last a lot longer because it has, you know, it's a stronger piece of wood. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing too is what happens to these sticks when they sit around at a drum shop for 3 years. Well, that water is evaporating out of the stick. And then when you feel them, they feel super light. And then you hit the snare, one rim shot, and they snap. It's like, well, there was no water content holding that material together anymore. And so, yeah, that's why some people roll their sticks on like a flat surface when they're picking them out. That's not because they came out of the factory bent. No drumstick manufacturer has ever shipped a pair of bent sticks. It's because they sat there for so long at the bottom of that drum shop's little stick holder that as the water was evaporating, the stick started to bow. Mm. And that's why it's bent.
Right.
So bent means that it's old.
Nice.
Anyways.
Mate, I love it.
Nerd.
I love it though, mate. It's so interesting to me, man. Because the guys in the chat are talking about snare strands now and what sizes. And then Scotty was like, I play 30. And I was like, yeah, so do I. Actually, no, I play 42. And then I had to Google. I was like, does 42 strands exist? Because that sounds pretty thick.
It's a lot. My snare comes with that. And
does
then
it?
I actually, and then I swap them out to the Pure Sound 30s.
Oh, okay. So you play 30.
Yeah, I play 30s. Yeah, so the 40, I think it's 40 or 42, like you said, but it's the widest. The goal with the Brooklyn Standard was to make a wood snare that was as sensitive and snappy as a metal snare. So we went with as many snares as possible, but they're still generic, not generic, but you know, they're not high-end snares wires that come on any drum. Doesn't matter whether it's whoever's making it. So I always switch out to the Pure Sound 30s.
Nice, man. Yeah, mate, I've loved this gear chat. It's been great.
Yeah, man.
It's been a while since we've like, well, it feels like a while since we've like nerded out over drum stuff. But
it felt like it was time to remind our listeners, like we do play drums for a living.
Yeah, exactly.
Just and so you guys know, we just.
And I feel like I might need to switch up on some skins maybe, because the Vista Light is on its, well, it's here now, it's landed. I just haven't picked it up. So I might need to, because I've played an acrylic kit once.
Okay.
And I can't remember how it felt, but I'm sure it's going to feel completely different.
Yeah. I mean, well, that it will for sure. Because I've played acrylic kits in the past, and I owned a carbon fiber kit for a long time.
Ooh.
And the feel was so different.
Yeah.
So different. And so that's one thing you did touch on real quickly as we wrap this up. One thing you touched on was that those, let's say, I don't even know what they're called, but the matte black Onyx heads, that they felt a certain way. The feel of a drum head is something I notice way more than this either sounds good or bad. I can tune a drum. That's not a problem. The feel is everything. Yeah. And some feel like you're hitting like a piece of plywood and it just stops. Then some feel like trampolines and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm fast on this kit. And so the thicker the head gets, the more that it's going to be thuddy and kind of die on you. And the thinner it gets, you know, it's going to dent unless you crank it up. So if you're tuning high, a thin head, like a single ply head, is great. I don't dent my head, so it'll be fine. But you do have to tune a little bit higher, and it's pretty fun. Like, just, you know, I would say for anybody that thinks I got to get a new drum set, maybe you should try new heads first.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and one of my biggest suggestions for any of my students is don't get a set of drum heads. You don't know what you want. Get five different 12 inch drum heads.
Yeah.
And just get the one, like, do single ply clear, double ply clear, single ply coated, double ply coated, and then like a random head, like a pinstripe or something. Put all those on your rack, Tom, and just spend a day or two with each, and then find the one you love and then order a full set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good shout, man. Good shout. I think that's why I stuck on OneSkin for about 15,000 years, because the idea of doing that, I'm so impatient and so lazy when it comes to stuff like that. I was like, I'm good. This works. This sounds fine. But yeah, it's interesting, mate. Like you said, before you move on to a different kit, just try a different skin. The G2s,
yeah.
I can't recommend the G2s anymore. They're any more than I have. They're flipping amazing. So if you haven't tried a G2, definitely give one a go, man. They're wicked.
Yeah. And if you want to have a better sounding drum set, just get some Aquarian Response 2s and you'll be set.
Exactly. Or what are they actually called? What are they called on the shelves?
Oh, no. Aquarian Response 2s are a thing. So that's the two. That's the Evans G2. So G2 in Remo would be an Emperor coded.
Yeah.
In Aquarian, it's a Response 2 coded. And in Evans, it's a G2 coded.
Beautiful.
In all honesty, they're all 7mm double ply heads with spray paint on them. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, coating is spray paint. It's a little more high tech than that, but all heads start clear. I think people think that there's like some white material, like there isn't. Well, now there is if it's glossy, but if it's a coated head, it was a clear head and it got sprayed. The Mylar was sprayed at some point in time.
That's so interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, that's what that texture is. And now I'm not saying that like they make a clear head, put it on a drum and then spray paint it. But yeah, like the Mylar starts off clear and then it's coated. Now, a lot of people have changed their process. So maybe Evans has like a laminate thing that happens, but usually it's a clear piece of Mylar that then gets sprayed. And that's where you get the coating for. And a lot of the reason for the coating, it's not just to mellow out the sound, which it does. It's for brush playing. It's so that you have a texture to, if you do brushes on a clear head, you don't hear anything. So it's so you have a texture to play brushes on and stuff. That's why it's there.
Have you ever played a clear head on the snare?
Oh yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It is the one. I love playing a clear head on the snare and then also turning the snares off. That's how I used to practice.
Yeah, buddy. That's solid. God.
This is
In my touring days,
good
clear
chat.
Heads.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
You ready to go play some drums? Let's play some drums. I'm going to go do a sound check at a TED conference. This is going to be great.
Put a clear head on the Brooklyn Standard, mate. Come on.
Whoa. Oh, if I had some, I don't have any, but if I had some, I would for sure.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, we hope you enjoyed the nerd chat. And please, please know that one of the best things you can do for your enjoyment on this instrument is to experiment with your gear. You're not going to hurt this thing. These things are made to be hit. So experiment, try different things out, try different tunings, learn all about your kit, your snare, your cymbals. Put some gaff tape on your ride, see what happens. Throw a wallet on your snare drum. Have some fun with it. But until next time, episode 114 is in the can.
Boom. Thank you, people, mate. 114. Flipping out.
I know.
Crazy, man. Crazy. Anyway, mate, have fun at your TED Talk.
Yeah, man. I'll send you some pictures from there.
Yeah, send me some videos. Definitely.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, legend. All right, guys. All right. Nice one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.